ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
I wonder how many of us here today feel like doing what the psalmist David is calling us to do. I sing to the Lord a new song, shout for joy to the Lord, make music to the Lord. Well, God isn't just telling us to do all these things, but he's calling all creation to join in. The sea, the rivers, the mountains, all creation is to sing to the Lord. Well, most of us just gave up our sleep in on a weekend after such a tiring week of school, uni, or work. Maybe singing to God is like the last thing you want to be doing right now. Or when we look at the world around us, we see so many things going wrong, like natural disasters like earthquakes, bushfires. We see wars between nations. We see people falling ill. Lives are being lost all around the world each day. Why should I be singing to the Lord? In this psalm, David doesn't just tell us to do these things for the sake of doing it, but he gives us reason. Verse 1, he says, he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. What is more marvelous than God sending his own son Jesus in the form of man to live the perfect life, to die for us and save us from our sins? He's won the battle against sin and death, and that is praiseworthy. And verse 9, he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. It's a promise that Jesus will one day return to judge all creation and set things right. All the brokenness around us will be restored, and that's a hope that we can praise him for. When life gets busy, it can be so easy to forget these truths, but that's what church is for. We're here to remind each other in word and in song that we have a God who is worthy of our praises. So let your voices project loudly, because the person next to you might just need to hear it. Please stand and join us as we sing our first song, Shout to the Lord.
Lord, there is none like you, O Lord.
Over the past 2 months, we've been looking at the book of Exodus. And for me personally, I've been struck with two things. The first thing is that time and time again, God's people, the Israelites, are so quick to forget the goodness of God and all that God did for them while they were enslaved in Egypt. They complained to God, but God sent the 10 plagues. They accused God before the Red Sea, but God divided it. And they grumbled in the wilderness for food, but God provided. In each of these instances, we see that in the midst of their lack of faith, God still remained faithful and delivered them every single time. I wonder if there's anything you're complaining, grumbling, or accusing God of this morning. I encourage you to simply remember. Remember everything that He has blessed you with, even the fact that you're here today, standing, breathing, is an act of God's grace. But above all, remember the cross, that Jesus came down to give Himself up for you in order that you might have new life in Him. Let's continue praising God, singing, "Great are you, Lord," and remind each other of how good God really is. Let's keep singing. please take a seat, guys. I'm going to invite Nathan up, and he's going to give us our next reading.
So reading comes from Ephesians 2, 1-5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among those at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
Today's Cellar Sunday, as I was mentioning before, is a time to intentionally pause from the busyness of life and reflect on ourselves and on God together as a church. In our songs just then, we praise God and sung of how great He is. He gives life, He gives love, He's the source of every breath we take today. It's easy to focus on the present, on who we are today before God. You know, we've been saved, we've been freed, we're brought into His family with a hope of eternal life. But if we simply focus on that and forget the state in which we were in before, we miss the magnitude of God's grace and appreciation of how amazing God really is. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, reminds them of their earthly nature. He says that they were dead in their transgressions and sins and deserving of God's wrath. We know how sinful our hearts can be. Every evil thought that we have, whether it's anger, bitterness, lust, or greed, is us rejecting God. The punishment for that is death, that in our sins we can't be in God's presence, and that we are in fact spiritually dead. It can also be hard to imagine what God's wrath looks like. But if you pictured what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago, nails driven into his hands and feet upon the cross, that's the wrath of God that Jesus took on in place of us. We should have been up there. So I wonder how many of us have spent time this past week to intentionally slow down, come before God, and reflect on how we've actively rejected Him or not trusted in Him. Have there been earthly desires or idols in your lives that have been taking your attention away from God this week? What are they? What sins are weighing down on your heart today that you need to confess and bring before God? So let's just take a minute, close our eyes, and talk to God on our own. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today as a church, as broken people, to confess to you our sins. We know how far we have fallen short of your glory and how much we are deserving of your wrath. Please help us, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to put to death the sin in our lives and help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who has rescued us from our sins. We thank you that your mercies are afresh every single morning, and we pray that you would help us to trust in you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verses 4 and 5, Paul says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." We're just now going to sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, in grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains
I'm going to invite Phoebe, and she's going to give us our next reading.
This reading is from Romans 8, verses 26 to 30. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
Life can sometimes feel like it's a bit out of your control. You've planned for it to go a certain way, but it doesn't, no matter how hard you try. Does it ever make you wonder, where is God? I thought he was good to me. Why do I feel like he's turned against me? The Bible often talks about an idea called the sovereignty of God, that God is in perfect control of everything that happens in this universe, that nothing happens outside of his will, and that everything, including the bad, is within his good and perfect plan. So in this passage, the Apostle Paul teaches us two things. Number one, that we aren't alone. The Holy Spirit dwells in us and helps us when we're feeling weak. Sometimes we are so lost or confused that we don't even know how to bring it before God. But the Spirit knows what to say. He's interceding for us because he is God himself. He knows how we feel, and he constantly reminds us of the truths that we need to hear. And number two, that in all things, every single thing, including all our pain and suffering that goes on in our lives, God is working for our good. That every little experience in our life is building upon each other to make us more like Christ. He's conforming us to his image day by day, growing us in perseverance, patience, and faith, as we learn to trust in him in all our troubles and hardships. Let's take a minute to sit and just reflect. What is it that you're going through right now? Do you feel alone? Do you feel that God is far? Maybe there's a burden that's just weighing you down that you would like to share with a brother or sister in Christ after service today. I wonder, how might God be using whatever that is to lead you to trust in him more and to refine you to be more like Christ? Just spend a minute in prayer, just asking God to help you see that. I'm now going to invite Justin, who's been at our church for many years and is currently a youth leader, to share about a recent event that he went through where he really experienced God's sovereignty.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Justin, and this morning I'm very blessed to share a very radical encounter I had early on this year. But just to set the scene, I guess, how it all happened. It happened actually in May during a Christian camp that I attended. So currently I'm currently a uni student. I study at UNSW. I'm part of the Christian group on campus called Campus Bible Study. They hosted a camp, a week-long camp, essentially in Kintuba, essentially for all of us just to, yeah, grapple and learn more about God's Word. And specifically for this year, the topic was, how do you make the right call? How do you make right decisions in your life? And, yeah, what is God's calling for humanity, but also God's calling for the individual as well? So, essentially, it was for a week, it was really, so far, it was really good. Like, I had a lot of opportunities to share about the gospel with others, be able to really have really deep conversations. But all things, I guess, came quite swiftly on, I remember Wednesday when we were playing a game of Frisbee. It was more rougher than expected. And one of my teammates, he tried to grab the Frisbee, but then accidentally landed on my calf and tore a muscle in my calf. And so essentially, yeah, like I just dropped to the ground and I actually couldn't walk. And so essentially a couple of my friends drove me to Katoomba Hospital. And at the time, it wasn't very busy. I was like, oh, you know, like a doctor's going to come, you know, it'll be really quick, really smooth. 1 hour passed, nothing. 2 hours passed, still haven't seen a doctor. 3, 4, 5 hours have passed, and I'm thinking in my head, like, why am I here? Like, I don't know, I just felt like I wasn't really making use of my time, like, just being stuck in this hospital, just, yeah, obviously in, like, physical and spiritual pain, and just, like, I feel like I should be doing better things, you know, I should be at MYC, the mid-year conference, being able to learn more about God's Word, but I'm just here, stuck in this hospital. And then 6 hours later, I was able to finally actually have a doctor attend me. It was a really quick, like, five-minute, like, consultation and a really quick x-ray. And so essentially, I was waiting for these, like, results. And then while I was waiting for these x-ray results, a random man decides, just out of nowhere, just barges in the emergency department room and starts having a panic attack, right? So it kind of stunned myself and my friends at the time, like late at night, like this is like 11:30 p.m., like, yeah, really unexpected. And essentially what happened was that the receptionist tried to calm him down, sat him down, like everything's going to be all right, there's going to be a doctor. But obviously with how long the queue times were and how busy the hospital was with so many kids like crying and stuff like that, yeah, I guess he was very, very shook and he needed attention. And the next thing that was quite unexpected was he actually got his phone out, called a friend. It was on voicemail, and he was like, hello, whatever his friend's name was. I really need Jesus right now. Like, I really need him to save me from, you know, the sins I've committed. And I feel like God can't, I don't know, I feel like God can't love me for the things I've done. And then by this time, like, my ears were like really switched on. Like, I was so tuned, and I was, like, so ready to be like, yo, like, I really want to have a chat with this guy. Like, you know, it's such a rare, like, opportunity. So then my friends and I, we, like, encouraged him to, like, sit with us. And then we just had a chat. And he was asking, like, what happened to me? So I shared about my injury. And he was like, what do you do at Katoomba? And we essentially shared that, yeah, we're Christians. We're actually at a Christian camp learning about God's calling and God's sovereignty. Afterwards, and then we asked for him, like, what is he doing at Katoomba? And he essentially shared his entire life, like, pretty much as a young baby till now. And then afterwards, we were like, can we pray for you? Can we pray for you? And he was like, absolutely. Like, he was super stoked to join in prayer. And so we prayed for him. And then afterwards he was like, can I pray for you guys too? And we were like, sure, yeah, why not? And so he prayed for us. And then at this moment, like, the hospital is really busy, right? But it was unusually quiet. So, like, everyone was, like, hearing our prayers. And I thought that was such a great witness opportunity at the time. And then after he prayed, he was like, you know what? I want to follow Jesus today. And I think, like, when I heard that, I was like, God is, like, so good. Like, being able to, like, through the stuff that he suffered through, and now being, like, willing to follow Christ is something that I'm still trying to understand to this day, like, how everything happened. And it was so funny, like, from that transformation, because his name was actually Paul. So, like, it was, yeah, like, it was just really unexpected. And then we just said our goodbyes. And then I went back to the cabin. And this was, like, 12:30 in the morning, and I'm just, like, with my friends. We just sat in our cabin, like, what just happened the past 6-7 hours, right? And I think, like, thinking back, like, going through all that suffering and pain, like, in the moment, I just felt really, like, completely useless and just lost. But I think looking back on it now, like, really seeing that there were so many things that came into play. There were so many factors that really, like, convicted me that it wasn't role play. Like, there was that we have a God that actually actively works, especially in, like, in that whole situation. Ever since then, I've been regularly praying for Paul, that he may continue to seek Christ out, having the heart and desire to be able to, not being afraid to reach out to his Christians in his neighborhood, and that he'll actually be able, to continue to further God's kingdom as well. Honestly, that's probably, like, one of, like, my top three, like Christian life stories in my life. And hopefully that was enlightening and encouraging for you all. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing story. If Justin never tore his calf, he would have never gone to hospital. Paul would never have heard the gospel from him. So it's pretty cool. Let's just pray for Justin. Thank you for sharing that story. It's amazing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work that you have been doing in Justin's life. We thank you that you love him so much that you sent Jesus down to die for him. We praise you that in the midst of his struggles, that you've continued to reveal your goodness, that even in his injury, which he struggled to see was good at the time, you brought about a life-changing experience into someone else's life. We know that you work in mysterious ways that we often can't comprehend, but help us to trust that you are in control of every little thing that happens in our lives, that in all things, you are working for the good of those who love you, who have been called according to your purpose. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, please stand, and we're going to sing our next song, Sovereign Over Us.
With the love that casts out fear.
sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust.
Dom up for our next Bible reading.
The reading today is 1 Peter 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
We all hope in something, and hope is good. We almost need it just to keep us going in life. But it does imply that right now, things are not the way that it should be, or the way that we want it to be. It's almost like we're just looking forward to reach the light at the end of a dark tunnel. And that's the reality of this world, that in a world filled with pain, suffering, and brokenness, we need a hope. I wonder where you've been placing your hope in recently. Do you hope to get good marks in school? Do you hope for a job promotion? Do you hope to get into a relationship? Do you hope for a good, fruitful marriage? And now I wonder what our experiences of those are. That in hoping for good marks, have you found yourself below average in an exam? That in hoping for a job promotion, has your boss rejected it? In hopes of a relationship, have you found yourself stuck in singleness? In hopes for a healthy marriage, do you continue to fight daily with your spouse? Yes, maybe sometimes it turns out to be good, and praise God for that. But the truth is, hoping in anything of this world is foolishness, because it will eventually fail us. It will always overpromise, yet underdeliver, simply because of sin. Peter, in this letter, is writing to Christians who are suffering persecution. And he talks about a different kind of hope called a living hope. That this hope is in Jesus, who was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is now seated at God's right hand. He's alive right now, constantly at work in this world and in our lives. He is the hope that we should be placing our trust in. Why though? Why him and not in money, relationships, or status? Because unlike these things that will perish, verse 4 says that through Jesus we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's a place in heaven with God. We can live with great expectation that if we remain faithful to Jesus, we will be saved, we will be part of his kingdom in heaven, where there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying or pain, and nothing can separate us from that assurance. I'd like us just to spend the next few minutes sharing with the person next to you, if you feel comfortable, what worldly things have you been placing your hope in recently? And how can you grow in trusting Jesus as your living hope? I encourage you guys to pray for that other person after you've shared. I'm just going to give you guys a couple of minutes to do that. If you guys haven't started praying yet, please start praying. We'll come back together in a minute or two. All right, let's come back together. Hope there was some good conversations there. All right, so yeah, please stand. We're going to sing our last song for today. It's Living Hope. Please stand.
Boundless grace, the God of ages.
down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. The grave has no claim on.